turn with me this morning to the book of John, the 19th chapter. I'm thinking on the way down here this morning, I'd be glad when the bill back there program kicks in. Costs $50 a mow the yard, the gasoline. The old truck, it holds $150 worth of But I'm sure it'd be better when this program kicks in.
No doubt.
I guess we begin reading here in the 30th verse. It said, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it's finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day. And they saw Pilate and their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. They had put a lot of stock in the day. It didn't matter about crucifixion. But we got to celebrate this day, and we need to get all this stuff done, get it out of the way, so we can celebrate. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already, and they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and knoweth that he saith what that he saith true, that ye might believe. If it wasn't the truth, you couldn't surely believe. You might believe a lie, but not the truth.
Right.
He said, for these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, the bone of him shall not be broken. It's amazing how that all things God set forth were from the beginning.
Amen.
Knoweth the end from the beginning. All things were prophesied, and all prophecy must be fulfilled.
Right.
Every jot and every tittle, that's the reason Jesus came to start with, was fulfilled.
Right.
All that had been said about him, and all things that work for the good of his people, was all prophesied, set forth before the beginning. Isn't that something too? Every job and every tittle, every I dotted and every T crossed, it was complete in him. They said, in the blood and the water came forth. I thought on these things some time back, and thinking on it this way, and there's so many ways. My mind, it was in that one in bogs, you know.
Yeah.
It just kept, I couldn't get any conduit in anything. Keep looking at some more. It's so much. Could be said, and so much could be read, which I did. I read a lot this week, but just concerning this one thing. But I thought it's something else that mercy came even before the foundation of the world in Christ Jesus, who created all things and set all things in motion and governed all things from before the beginning. You just can't hardly put your mind around that. From before the beginning, But came water, and I had a lot of good, a lot of things to say recently, even about the temple, that all the washings and the water that was held there for the washing and the cleansing, and thinking on these things, and I thought once again about what's being taught today. They say, just come to church and come as you are.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking it must be a washing. There must be a renewing. Must be a cleaning up.
Yes.
It's not that man could wash himself of all sin.
Right.
But it is that he could present his body in a way that he could come before the Lord and beg mercy.
Amen.
How can you come to the mercy seat lest you be clean? There is a cleansing in this water that came forth.
Yeah.
And in the blood that came forth is atoned. The cleansing and the atoning of man. That he might be made presentable. Not an unclean thing anymore, but clean.
Right. Fine.
Made whole by the blood and the water. Took both. It couldn't fall short of that. It absolutely took both. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 1, and said, in that day there should be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness.
Right.
In the fountain. I go back once again to the temple in the mercy seat. In the little spring it was coming forth. And I think that's what he's talking about here. There was a shedding forth of water and blood, and blood in the temple was carried in that it might sanctify those things that were set forth there for the service of the Lord. And not only the things, but the people, all the temple and all the instruments and all the people were cleansed. Take off your clothes and put on some holy clothes before you come in.
Yeah.
Be clean. Come in and make the offering. And what was it? The blood of the covenant.
Yeah.
This is a covenant I'll make with my people. I'm going to lay down my life for them, that they might have life. And it might be more abundant, and it might be permanent.
Yeah.
Eternal. So there's a fountain that was springing forth, and it sprang forth from the mercy seat. It was coming right out from underneath it, now from under the wall, and going on and getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it didn't stop on the way down. It went all the way out to the sea without stopping, and getting bigger and bigger. Then the waters of it were for healing.
Yeah, that's right.
The spring would come forth to cleanse and atone. In 1 John, not John, now 1 John, verse 5, in chapter 5, verse 6, says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only. We'll set this forth straight. Not by water only. Took more than that. But by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness. Because the Spirit is truth. That's kind of where we started a while ago, about truth. Right. And it's bearing witness of him, which is truth. All truth. But by water and blood, and it's the Spirit that beareth witness, Paul, and so much Spirit, because the Spirit is truth.
Right.
For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There's no division there.
Nope.
It was all for one purpose, and it was all complete in him.
Right.
That he might have the preeminence. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three, once again, agree in one.
Right.
Can't get around it. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is great. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son.
Amen.
The preeminence was to be his. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record. It's been set forth, the record.
Yeah.
That God gave his Son. And we have received the record. How much more? How much more do we need? And the record of the book of Hebrews. This is a real problem here. So if you don't know where to go in the book of Hebrews, we can read the whole thing. 10th chapter. Yes, verse 14, therefore by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Yeah.
They're his.
Amen.
They were given to him by the Father.
Yeah.
They're sanctified. He made one offering. The water and the blood was shed forth. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. And I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquity, iniquities, as with an S, I remember no more. Now, where the remission of these is, there's no more offering of sin. One time was shed forth the water and the blood.
Right.
And it was eternal.
Mm-hmm.
I said you can't hardly leave off any of the book of Hebrews. It's just from one end to the other, and it's all about him. Back in the book of John, in the 19th chapter again, verse 37 of the 19th chapter, and again another scripture says, I shall look on him whom they pierced. It seemed just stopped there. Who it's said again, it was another prophecy.
Yeah.
And I think it hadn't totally been fulfilled. Until the last man, it won't be fulfilled. They're going to look upon him. Every eye's going to see it. Every knee bow.
Right.
And they're going to see him. In Revelation, the first chapter, a little hint of it here. And in verse 7, it says, "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Then he said, "Even so, amen." It's sure thing. You're going to see him, that's going to be it. Back in the book of Zechariah again. In the 12th chapter, I guess verse 9, "It shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David." We got two things going on here. "And upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there should be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, and the family of the house of David apart, and the wives apart, and the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, and the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, and all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart." And then we back down to, "In that day there shall be a fountain open." We've seen both sides of this in these two verses. Of those that are so hard-hearted and rebellious that they will not believe the truth. And we've seen the other side of those that will come for the Lord to see him.
Right.
They're looking for him, looking for his coming, and the Lamb shall mourn. Because he hadn't come yet. And in these things that's going on the earth, there is bitterness,
yeah,
and wrath and troublemaking. It seems like there's no end to it. But the Lord will come in due time, because he has already shed forth the washing for the people, and the blood for their sins, that it might cleanse them and atone them from all their trespasses. And it'll be a great day. In that day, it'll be that day when the atonement is absolutely complete. Man or a whole is made pure again. Those that would call upon the name of the Lord, those that would mourn after him and look for him, because there is a fountain that's been opened to his people.
Amen. I suspect that's where Cooper got his inspiration for "There Is a Fountain." It's pretty obvious, doesn't it?
I'm glad you brought that. I've been wondering about the water and the blood. I hadn't heard much on that, so study more.
Well, like you said, there could be a lot more said.
Yes.
About that, and there's lots of controversy over, what about the water and the blood? What, we don't have much problem with the blood, but we got a whole lot of problem with the water.
Yeah, that's
right.
We need to see what the scriptures
but,
say.
But if you read the scriptures, I mean, water was an extremely important element in the worship of the Lord in the Old Testament, as J.T. has pointed out several times. There was a huge basin full of water out there, and nothing went without washing.
One time I figured up how many gallons of water was there, but I done forgot it. It measured in baths.
Right. It was several thousand gallons.
Yeah, it was several thousand gallons in that.
Study on.
In fact, in some places it was referred to as a sea.
Yeah.
Right. And nothing went before the worship of the Lord that was not washed.
Right.
Nothing. And then much of it was burned, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't get more cleansing than fire, the fire. It's going to cleanse it.
So, or carried outside the camp and burned it.
Yeah, that's right. So, whatever their contentions are, the water is a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
And it always, when I think of the water, I think of baptism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking.
It's just, you can't
just
get away from it.
Well, and life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so necessary for life. And that's why these people get so excited about water and space.
Well, that's true.
You gotta have it.
So, but I was thinking too, you know, when was the beginning? All of this was before the beginning, or at least the beginning of the creation as we know it.
Right.
But of course it was not before the beginning of God, because it couldn't be, could it? Because he has no beginning and no ending. So what a precious thing it is this afternoon, Lord willing. We'll be considering again Peter's words in 1 Peter chapter 1. Concerning the precious blood of Christ, redeemed not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. How precious was it? How precious is it? You cannot overemphasize it, can you? All right. And it's worth the thoughts.
Amen.
Good thoughts. But I just trust that we're growing every day in the grace and faith and knowledge of our Lord. And that we can see more and more just how precious Christ is to us in our needs, but how precious he is to the Father. But all right. Very good. Thank you. Thank the Lord.
I just, what saddens me is how few people there are.
Amen.
I marvel at it, but it saddens me.